Where is the king of the south and the king of the north? Now, we know before the things at the end time can take place, there has to be a king of the north and a king of the south. But before we get there, let's talk a little bit about some of the current things with the U.S. dollar. First of all, we need to realize that the Federal Reserve Bank is like the Monetary Reserve Bank for the whole world. And that also the other central banks of the other nations are keyed into and work with the Federal Reserve Bank. So when comparisons are made to the crash in 1929, there are many things which are totally different today, which, though the same principles apply, they can be alleviated or delayed for a significant period of time. And what we have seen is this. I've been watching the dollar index. Now, when a dollar index is what they say at 80, then the dollar is in pretty good shape. The dollar index did slip down to about 72, and that's when there was all the panic and gold went up to $843 an ounce just almost overnight, and people were talking about the foreclosure problems and the subprime problem, and the dollar was on verge of collapse. Well, then the Fed stepped in and they cut the interest rate a half point. They'll probably cut it another half point. And you heard a lot of people say, well, the foreign countries are going to dump the dollar and the dollar is going to crash. Whoa, not quite so fast. Because if they dump the dollar, they are going to precipitate a worldwide depression which will be at least 10 years or more coming out of. Now, all these corporations do not want to have no profit for 10 years. So they are doing everything they can to keep the dollar from going down while they deliberately want to devalue it to increase the exports out of the U.S., which also brings up another point. The euro may be very overpriced, and it's making their exports very hard to sell in relationship to the U.S. dollars. Also combined in it at the same time was the run-up of oil to almost $100, and I think the traders were seeing how far they could get it up. I think that they wanted to get it up over $100 so they could make everything look bad and make more money and so forth. Well, they couldn't get it up to that. And oil has fell down now to about $85 a barrel. And there's many things which indicate that it could go as low as 65 or lower, which then will have an effect of strengthening the dollar. So the moral of the story is, if you have a lot of money in the bank, you still have time to get it into real assets. Now, I'm not your financial advisor, but you need to check out what you need to do. So the world economy is not going to allow a total worldwide depression. So they're going to be able to work it out. Subsequent to that, this last week, they worked out with the lenders probably an arrangement where on these obscene loans of the subprime of the adjustable rate, some of them have already gone up one-third in their payment, meaning that if you are paying $2,400 a month for a mortgage payment, now you're paying $3,200. So, and this wipes some people out, plus the price of gas going up, plus the other things going up. So if they get that across, that will ameliorate the problem for 5 years. Though they may lose some potential interest down the road, they are not going to lose their principal. So losing some interest is a small penalty to be paid for a foreclosed loss of principal loan. Comment was made that in watching Japanese news that they're commenting about the money that they have lost on the subprime. Remember about what was that 5 years ago, 6 years ago? I read an article about the Japanese being so frugal and they had $12 trillion in savings. And finally, the world bankers were able to convince them to let that money be used for investments, meaning buy U.S. treasuries and buy U.S. home mortgages. And so now they're squawking about it. But you see, they are all stuck. And they have to ask the question, do we want a little loss now, or do we want a whole massive loss? Do we want a little recession now, or do we want a 10-year depression? That's what they're asking.
See, loan out.
Behind a lot of this is greed at every level. Mm-hmm. Greed with the real estate salespeople, greed with the home builders, because now when the pinch came, they were able to sell homes that they were selling at $600,000 retail. They were able to auction them at $285,000. All the rest was profit. There is greed by the home buyers. They bought way up higher than they should have because they could get an adjustable loan. There was greed by the lenders because they said, oh boy, look at the interest rate we're going to make. There was greed by the secondary investors because they said, oh boy, we will buy these and we will let these support our income for the bank. And the Northern Rock Bank in England almost failed over it because they were so deeply invested into these subprime loans. Giving an example of greed on local level by a buyer. Here in Hollister, there was a man who made $15,000 a year working in the fields cutting lettuce. He and his family were convinced to buy a $750,000 house. And, of course, I don't care how low your education is. You can still add and subtract. So you have greed by the part of the buyer who said, well, if I can get this house, I'll do it. The real estate person wanted to sell it. The loan broker wanted to make the loan. So the loan broker said on the loan, because it was one of those loans where they didn't do any verification of income, wrote down there he made $150,000 a year. So what they would do, they would make the purchase this way. Nothing down. You get a first mortgage of so much, you get a second mortgage of so much, and then you get cash back that you give to the buyer between $20,000 and $30,000 so they can begin making the payments. So voila! Everything came together, ran out of money, interest payments went up, and there it is in foreclosure. And he's saying in the newspaper, right here in the local area of Hollister, I didn't know. So this is the kind of insanity that went on. That's why in the Bible, and you will notice, go back and look at financial things. They run in 7 and 8 year cycles. What do we find in the Bible? 7 year economic cycle, 7th year is your release. This is to stop that kind of thing. So know for sure, that when the kingdom of God is on the earth, it's going to be entirely different. There won't be it won't be based on greed and lust. So the dollar is not going to collapse. The dollar now, I saw the other day, is up to 76.8. So it's getting closer it was up almost to 78. So it's getting closer to the index level of 80. Now when they drop the rate, they say they're going to do this next coming week, another half point, then that's going to have some other ramifications too. But now that they have given a Band-Aid, you ever heard of daubing with untempered mortar? Well, the Hebrew really is this: you whitewash it. See? You whitewash it. And you can make it look nice. So that's what they're doing. They're whitewashing it. And we'll see what happens with it. But they are going to do everything within their power. All the central banks in the world working together to keep the dollar from falling. Now, I'll talk about how they're going to bring in the Amero a little later in the sermon. Before we get there, I want to ring the cowbell before we start, so I'll only do it once. Since we are not going to cover any scriptures that we haven't covered in the past, but we are going to look at them with additional information. And we're going to look at them and study them with a little different perspective so we can answer the question, where is the King of the North and where is the King of the South? First of all, let's come to Proverbs 9. And let's see how this adds to how we are to study the Bible. We know it's line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little and there a little. But you see, what is really true is this. They now know that the human mind is capable of learning even right up to the point of death. And that this thing that, you know, you reach your maximum mental ability, say, at your early and mid-20s, and everything is downhill until you end up with Alzheimer's disease at 70, is not true. We're studying for eternal life, and it is a human lifetime study to learn about the things of eternal life. Now, the more you learn, the more that you learn, because you can put more facts together than you had previously understood. It's like starting out with a simple child's puzzle. You have a puzzle and it has 20 pieces. And you're 4 years old and you can put it together. Well, as you get older, you graduate to a 100-piece puzzle, a 500-piece puzzle, a 1,000-piece puzzle. And when you get to a 2,000-piece puzzle, every piece looks the same. I don't know if you've ever tried to put those together. They all look the same. But you see, you're able to progress in what you can do because you've had past experience and past thinking. So here's a really good proverb which covers this. Proverbs 9 and verse 9. Give instruction to a wise man, and he will be yet wiser, because he's still learning. He adds that to his reservoir of wisdom. Teach a just man, and he will increase in learning. Now, what does it say in the New Testament we are to do? We are to grow in grace and the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. So we are ever to learn, but to learn the truth so we can understand things better. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding. Now, holy, the holy is the Word of God, is it not? It's called the Holy Bible, yes? Okay. So knowledge of it gives us understanding. Now, here's the problem that there is in understanding prophecy. Certain things were not to be understood until the end. Let's come to Daniel, the 12th chapter. Daniel 12. Now, here Daniel gave all of these fantastic prophecies, used of God, and of course, here in the last chapter of Daniel, we find some signs of the time of the end, as well as the King of the North and King of the South. But let's come first to Daniel 12 and verse 4. But you, O Daniel, shut up the words. Now, we've read this before, haven't we? Yes. And seal the book even to the time of the end. Now, here's a sign of the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased. That could not happen until the advent of the automobile, and then the train, and then airplanes. And now we just have it more and more and more and faster and faster and faster, right? But notice that it doesn't tell us the duration of time that this will be. Now let's read the rest of it here. And knowledge shall be increased. Now knowledge has increased so much, and with the computers we have, it's doubling very rapidly. Well, based on a hard drive and a computer, every 3 or 4 months they double in the capacity of storage on a hard drive in a computer. So knowledge is increasing more and more and more and more and more. And it's increasing in good areas, and it's increasing in areas that are evil. Some of the good areas that it's increasing is the knowledge of the vastness of the universe. And all of the incredible things about the earth. We were watching one the other night, where the great white shark down in, off the Cape of Good Hope in South Africa can leap out of the water. Here it is, a 25-foot shark can leap out of the water at least 12 feet. And then they talk about the finite things in the cells. Now they know that the cell is an incredibly complex thing. And all of these show the glory of God, the power of God, the creation of God, and keeps backing the atheist and the evolutionist into almost irretrievable corners that they are exactly as the Bible has said they are, fools. See, one thing to remember is God creator? Yes. Is he still creating? Yes, we know that he's creating in us holy, righteous character so we can be born at the resurrection into the kingdom of God. That's his most important creation right now. Can God at any time create another subspecies if he desires? Yes, he can. Men look at it and say, oh, it evolved. Or it was natural selection. Some things may be natural selection, but other things may be deliberate creation at the time. Give you one example, human beings. Isaac and Rebecca had 2 sons. Jacob and Esau. What did God tell her? Now, they're from the same mother, same father. Twins. There are two nations and two kinds of people in you. Did he create them? Yes, because it says that God creates in the womb. That's why if you haven't seen In the Womb, well, you can get it on National Geographic or wait till it comes on National Geographic. But aside from some of the things that might offend people who are very touchy about things concerning sex, and some even refuse to watch it because of that, you miss the most important thing of the whole presentation, which is this. You watch the creation of God creating by the power of reproduction another human being. Now, they also have it in the womb of animals. And you see the same thing there. And what does God say of the animals? All the beasts are mine. All the birds are mine. So knowledge increasing just out in the world is fantastic. Another way knowledge is increasing by the greater number of Bibles that there are in the world, and there's estimated to be 5.5 billion Bibles in the world today. Another way that knowledge is increasing is the knowledge of the holy, which gives understanding. Because we just read, knowledge of the holy is understanding. Now, let's carry this further here. Now, let's come down here to verse 8. And I heard, but I understood not. Then I said, Ah, my Lord, what shall be the end of these things? And he said, Go your way, Daniel, for the words are closed and sealed up till the time of the end. That's why nearly all commentaries on end time events cannot be right, especially those that were written 50, 75, 100, 200 years ago. See, for example, 200 years ago, they said that the mark of the beast was Sunday keeping, because they thought everything would close down on Sunday. Well, that shows how parochial or cloistered they were in their thinking, because other parts of the world have nothing to do with Catholicism or Sunday keeping or Protestantism and Sunday keeping. Mark of the Beast has nothing to do with Sunday. It has to do with buying and selling and the putting of a chip, which we now know is possible, on your right hand or in your forehead. And it's something that is put on. Now, we couldn't understand that until, what, 15 years ago, max? All right, so the same thing here. Same thing with the king of the north and the king of the south. Verse 10, many shall be purified, that means, and made white, that is qualified for salvation, and tried. And yes, there were many martyrs, martyrdoms, and so forth. But the wicked shall do wickedly, and none of the wicked shall understand, and that's exactly what's happening today, isn't it? Oh, by the way, there's a new false prophet out. What is the name of the new false prophet? Oprah Winfrey. She has classes on the new Jesus. And they don't understand the Bible. See, now people say, how dare you say that? Well, all you have to do is, she's going to start her lessons the first of the year on her radio station. And at the end of it is just, it's nothing more than a rework of Deepak Chopra's I Am God. So if you compare with what is taught, with what is in the Bible, then you will know If you don't, you'll think how outlandish. But she is the second most admired woman in America. Sir Satellite Radio. She's going to have lessons on so forth. Okay, but the wise shall understand. Okay. And from the time that the daily sacrifice shall be taken away and the abomination that makes desolate set up, this could not be what happened in days of Antiochus Epiphanes because they reconstituted the temple. This could have nothing to do with the destruction of the temple in 70 AD because the abomination of desolation didn't come in and stand in the holy place. This has to do with the end time. Okay. Now let's come back here to Daniel 11 and let's look at the king of the north before we look at the king of the south. Let's see what kind of man this is going to be. And we're going to see these are unprecedented prophecies. Verse 36, and the king, that's the king of the north, shall do according to his will. He shall exalt himself and magnify himself above every god and shall speak awesome things against the God of gods and shall prosper till the indignation be accomplished, for that is determined shall be done. Now, the indignation is obviously the correction of God when Christ returns. Neither shall he regard the God of his fathers, nor the desire of women, nor regard any God, but he shall magnify himself above all. Now, we'll look at the New Testament some scriptures we've seen before, and he does. And in his estate, he shall honor the God of forces, which is another name for Satan. And remember the Star Wars thing, let the force be with you? That's common among occultists, by the way. And a God whom his fathers knew not, shall he honor with gold and silver and precious stones and pleasant things. And thus shall he do in the most strongholds with a strange God, whom he shall acknowledge and increase with glory, and he shall cause them to rule over many and shall divide the land for gain. All right, let's look at the New Testament scriptures and see exactly what this is telling us about. Let's come to 2 Thessalonians, the second chapter. Now, we've read this before, but let's come there and see what it's telling us about this same man, because these scriptures only apply to one man, and the one man is a personification of the beast, which then also represents a kingdom. So just like you have in the book of Daniel, king and kingdom are synonymous. Now here is this man who does exactly the same thing that we read back there. He tells them, don't be quickly shaken in mind, and don't let anyone deceive you, because verse 3, do not let anyone deceive you by any means. Prove, because that day will not come unless the apostasy shall come first. And this is not just the falling away from the church of God. This is the apostasy in rebellion and revolt against God by all of humanity. And the man of sin shall be revealed, the son of perdition. Now notice how closely that this description fits back there in Daniel the 11th chapter. The one who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God, or that is an object of worship, so that he comes into the temple of God and sits down as God, proclaiming that he himself is God. Now that's a powerful verse. This also tells us since this has not been fulfilled and was not fulfilled in 70 AD, that the temple has to be rebuilt, and that agrees with Revelation 11. Now notice, verse 5, do you not remember that when I was still with you, I told you these things? And now you understand what is holding him back in order for him to be revealed in his own set time. And what is the set time? The time of the end. But, however, he says, verse 7, for the mystery of lawlessness is already working. Only there is one who is restraining at the present time until it arises out of the midst, and out of the midst of the satanic system of this world. Then the lawless one will be revealed. Now notice this next sentence, because this is important, because this gives us a time setting when we put that together with Revelation 19. The lawless one will be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the breath of his mouth, because he has a sharp two-edged sword, correct? Yes. Goes out of his mouth, and will destroy with the brightness of his coming. So he's going to be destroyed when Christ returns. You read Revelation 19, beast and false prophet are cast into the lake of fire, correct? Yes. Even the one whose coming is according to the inner working of Satan. Now, we'll see this in a minute in Revelation 13. He's possessed of Satan, the people worship him as Satan, and the whole world goes after him as God. With all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in those who are perishing, because they did not receive the love of the truth so that they might be saved. And there are going to be billions of people who have Bibles in their homes who haven't read them because they didn't receive the love of the truth, and they are going to be deceived. You see, and the more and more that they have the occult come on the scene, the more that they put down Christ, the more that they ridicule true Christianity, and I'm going to speak on it next week, which is the occult is just absolutely sweeping this world and preparing the way for this man. And everything concerning Christianity is being attacked, is being degraded, the Word of God shunned aside, and disbelievers and atheists and false prophets are going to come out of the woodwork like they're just puppets leaping out of the wall. So we've got to be strong. Now, what happens? Verse 11, for this cause God shall send upon them a powerful deception that shall cause them to believe the lie. Now, when you believe something, whether it is truth or whether it is a lie, you believe it to be true and you act upon it. Can you imagine a false prophet calls fire down from heaven, says, yes, this is the Christ. Christ is here now. Remember what Jesus said? If they say he's in the country, in the desert, don't go. If they say he's in the secret chamber, don't go. They'll say, here's Christ, there's Christ. Don't believe it, because he's coming as an invader from outer space. Now, let's go on. So that all may be judged who did not believe the truth, which is the Word of God, but who took pleasure in unrighteousness. Now let's come to Revelation 13 and let's see similar description here concerning the King of the North. Because you see, we identify the King of the North by the description of who he is. Now in Revelation 13, we have this beast. Let's begin right here in verse 1. And I stood on the sand of the sea, and I saw a beast rising up out of the sea. And we know Revelation 17 that the waters are what? Languages and multitudes and people and nations. So here this is a worldwide thing. And this is what we are seeing happening in the world. We are looking at worldwide things. How many times are you told that you can't do anything in isolation anymore because it's a world economy? And even when I get on the plane, fly American Airlines, they have, right at the entrance, they have on every plane, one world. You hear about the global economy and oneness and all of this sort of thing. Now notice, having seven heads and ten horns, we'll talk about the ten horns a little later. And on his horns, ten crowns, and upon his heads, the name of blasphemy. And the beast that I saw was like a leopard. This all refers back to the book of Daniel. So what do we have? We have diversity. We have the best of all the civilizations put together. This could not better describe the United Nations, who is going to have a leader. Now, I already rang the cowbell. Could it be that the King of the North and the final leader of the United Nations, which I also believe, will be reconstituted and moved to Europe? Be exactly the same. And out of that will come a leader who will be the King of the North. Feet like a bear, mouth like the mouth of a lion, and a dragon gave him his power, his throne, and his great authority. So this is purely satanic. That's why there is so much occult going on in the world today in everything. And I saw one of his heads as it were slain to death or wounded to death. But his deadly wound was healed. Now, what do you suppose that could be? Well, I thought the other day, one of it could be a terrorist coming with a bomb strapped to him and nearly kills him. Could be. I've also thought, when he goes into the temple and sits down as God, that's going to make the Jews angry, right? Will they send out an assassination team and almost get him? I don't know, but those are some possibilities. However it comes, the deadly wound is going to be healed, and notice what happens. The whole earth. Now, let's understand something. When it says the whole earth, all the world, all people, it means precisely that. Because we're dealing in the end time events with things concerning the whole world. And the whole earth was amazed and followed the beast. And they worshiped the dragon who gave his authority to the beast, and they worshiped the beast saying, who is like the beast? Who has power to make war against him? Now again, let's think of something else. What is the greatest threat of war today? Loose nuclear bombs. What if the world came to an agreement which would be hailed as a wonderful, wonderful thing, that all of the nuclear weaponry would be under the power of the UN? Not far-fetched. Now notice how it describes him. And a mouth speaking great things. We read that in Daniel 11 and 2 Thessalonians 2, right? And blasphemies were given to him. And authority was given to him to continue for 42 months, that is, after the deadly wound was healed. So this tells us this is the beginning of the last 3.5 years. So if you wake up one morning and there's a somewhere down the road in time and there's a report that this wonderful, charismatic new leader of the United Nations, just when we're getting it going really, really good, someone tried to kill him with a terrorist bomb. Or this new God that we have that we're all worshiping, and he went into the temple of God in Jerusalem and said he's God, and then the Jews had an assassination team to come after him. You know, you have to wonder when the tribulation is going to come. It's going to come right away. Now notice. And he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God, to blaspheme his name, his tabernacle, and those who dwell in heaven, and power was given to him to make war against the saints and to overcome them. We are facing martyrdom to stand for the truth of God, and we all need to ask God for strength. If that's the way it comes down on us, that we can do what we need to do. Others have. All the apostles except John were martyred. So, you know, why would we be surprised, especially when the fifth seal is the martyrdom of the saints? And why would we say, well, why would God do this? As a demonstration to all the evil people in the world that there are those who belong to God and they don't count their physical lives precious to themselves, and they will stand even to death, because you cannot take away their eternal life. So it's going to happen. And he was given authority, now notice, over every tribe and language and nation. Now, if that doesn't describe the United Nations, I don't know what does. And all who dwell on the earth will worship him whose names have not been written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. And notice verse 9, if anyone has an ear, let him hear. So this says we have to hear the word of God, we have to know the word of God in order to understand it. Okay? So this is quite a thing, isn't it? That is really quite a thing that's going to happen. Now, let's come back to Daniel 11, and let's see what the king of the north is going to do, and then we are introduced for the first time to the king of the south. And after that, I want to concentrate on how and where will the king of the south arise. Now, just like we have the king of the north, and what do we have for the king of the north all set to go in territory and land and people? The European Union. And what Napoleon and Hitler and the Kaiser and Hitler could not do to unite Europe. They could not do through war. Has been done by trade and treaty. And the United Kingdom, in January 2009, because remember the constitution that they had that they voted on, which was voted down, the people voted down? So what they did, they said, well, let's rework it into a treaty, and then only the parliaments have to approve it. See, and once the parliament approves a treaty, it becomes the law of the land. Give you one little example right here in the United States. We have the NAFTA treaty, right? Came the date that was in the treaty that all Mexicans could drive their trucks into the U.S. That was contested. It was taken to the Court of Arbitrations of Trade Disputes for NAFTA, and they ruled that yes, they can come, and the United States legislature in any state or the Congress cannot make a law contrary to it, because a treaty is the law of the land. Now, you have Europe all together. The UK has accepted the treaty. So in January 2009, it takes effect. Now, the deceitful thing concerning these regional unions of countries is this. You don't lose all your sovereignty at once. For example, we had the President of France come over here to the United States, President Sarkozy, and he praised Bush and America, how great we are, and so forth. But we don't realize that there is a precedent over him, the President of the EU. And there is also a parliament over him in Brussels. And there is a European court over all the nations and over all the leaders of Europe who agree to the treaty. However, those things are not applied very often. And when they are, it's a loss of sovereignty and degree. So remember these words. Change by incrementalism, or deceit by incrementalism, loss of sovereignty by incrementalism, and it will be absolutely true in the case of the UK and shortly after that in America that the people will lose their sovereignty to strangers that rise up over them. Now, in the case of crises, what can happen? Then the EU can declare a state of emergency and all powers go to the central government. That's really tricky, isn't it? But that's how it works. And we'll focus in on that in just a bit. Let's look here at the King of the North, verse 40. And at that time, at the time of the end, the king of the south shall push at him, and the king of the north shall come against him like a whirlwind, with chariots, with horsemen, with many ships, and he shall enter into the countries and shall overflow and pass over. Now let's go to the next track, and then we will continue.